We are all set for our second interview, which is with Bill Hansen, who I believe has never been on KTWH, at least not to my knowledge before. Bill is longtime owner of Sawbill Outfitters, now resident of Grand Marais, big North Shore guy. Well, he was one of the first people we met when we moved to Two Harbors like 15 years ago in a sort of a more politically active realm. So anyway, thank you so much, Bill, for coming to be with us on KTWH this morning.
Well, it's my pleasure, and it's not my first time. I think it might even be my third time.
Oh, good.
Been on with Leo Barbeau a couple times.
Okay. All right. Well, there's, I'm sure, many different topics we could interview on, but so this morning I want to talk about skating.
Yeah.
It could be just my family, but I think this is a growing interest in, obviously some people have always skated the lakes of northern Minnesota, but with our several winters with very little snow or no snow and ice freezing up first. There's been skating actually for a long time on the Northern Lakes, and I think you've been doing it for a long time. Tell us a little bit about your history with skating here.
Well, as you mentioned, I grew up at Sawbill Canoe Outfitters. I lived there for 62 years, and that, for people that haven't been there, it's at the end of the Sawbill Trail on Sawbill Lake. There's a theme there.
Yep.
And that's a lake that's an entry point for the Boundary Waters. And so, from a very young age, when the opportunity presented itself to skate on the lake ice, we seized it. So I've been skating on lake ice since I was 4 years old, and I'm 70 now. So long time.
That is a long time. That's amazing. I'm so glad to have you on the air. First of all, tell us an early memory of skating.
Oh, gosh. Skating as a kid, I don't have any real direct memories. So the one that kind of sticks out in my mind was probably when I was around 20. We had a year when the lakes froze in October. And I mean, froze hard. Oh, gosh, in the third week of October, we had some temperatures below zero and the lakes were frozen a good 8 inches thick, nice and smooth. And we'd be out skating and people would pull up to the landing with canoes on their cars.
Oh.
And they'd get out and look at it. We'd skate over, stop. Hi. What are you thinking? And they were like, what?
Wow.
Apparently it was a year when it was very cold up here and not cold in the cities. So people were very surprised. And of course, pre-internet, long pre-internet. So information didn't flow as smoothly as it does now. So that was kind of fun, people.
Wow.
They were shocked.
Yeah.
That was a notable year just because of the very early freeze up that year.
Yeah. And then it seems like traditionally early freeze up and then spring is the time to skate on the lakes. Is that accurate?
Spring is. Spring is more rare. And actually, skating even in the early winter is somewhat rare. I would say on average, it only happens every 4 or 5 years over time, over my 60 some years. Many years it's either snows right after it freezes or, so like last year, we only had a few days. The year before that, it was fantastic.
Right.
Again, like this year. So it's very unpredictable and uneven in its appearance, which is part of what makes it so charming. I always say when the lakes freeze smooth, you just forget about work, forget about school, drop everything and go, because it's your opportunity to go. And it actually, I should mention, that it's become known as wild ice skating. And I swear my friend John Oberholzer, who's an avid wild ice skater, coined that term, but I think it actually goes back centuries. Of course, everybody knows about skating on the canals in the Netherlands, which sadly doesn't really happen anymore, but that was a huge tradition. And then, of course, in Scandinavia, Siberia, really all around the world, people have been skating for centuries.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think it is more popular, at least in northern Minnesota.
I think partly because of the Facebook pages you can get on where you can see people skating, and then everyone wants to get out there. But it is a sport that you need to have some care about. Obviously, you're out on open water when it's pretty cold. Tell us what you can tell. I know you've had some stories yourself. I'm sure you have your own guidelines and some good information.
Yeah, somewhat ironic because I think the skating season ends tonight.
Uh-huh.
It looks like from the forecast.
Yep.
5 to 9 inches of snow they're calling for up here in Cook County anyway. But yeah, safety, of course, very important. It is a dangerous thing, and I can vouch for that. I've fallen through the ice 3 times, only once while skating, but that was a serious fall or a serious situation. And that was, oh gosh, I can't remember now. Well, let's see, it was 2015, I think, because it was an election year. And I ran into a friend while I was out skating alone, which, by the way, is safety tip number one. Don't ever skate alone.
Mm-hmm.
I knew there were other people out. You know, I could see people skating, and the ice was quite thick, 5-6 inches thick, and on Caribou Lake. And I thought nothing of it. And sure enough, very quickly, I ran into a friend, and we started skating together. And we got into a political conversation, and we kind of had our heads together, and we're earnestly discussing the issues of the day, and skated out on some thin ice, and we both fell through.
Oh.
And we were out in the middle. It was a cold day. It was, you know, in the single digits, I think, very windy. And neither one of us had ice picks, which is safety tip number two.
Oh.
And that day, I had actually had my ice picks in my hand and thought, you know, I'd been out for several days prior to that, and I was like, oh, the ice is thick everywhere. You just can't trust that nowadays. I think it's another symptom of climate change, but ice can be thin even midwinter. So since then, and I should have been smart enough to know before that always, always carry your ice picks. And ice picks are, they're also called ice awls by some people, AWL. But they're basically just like handles, like the handles of a ski pole. They're usually plastic, and then they have a sharp point on them, and so you can hold one in each hand and pull yourself out by picking on the ice. They work like a charm. They're very light. You can get a set for under $10, you know, and they have a string on them, usually some kind of a coiled string that you can, so you can hang them around your neck.
Yeah.
And then they stick together, so they're not so there are no sharp points flying around, you know. And when you fall through, it's really one thing to know from experience of falling through the ice is that your fingers become useless within, 20 seconds or so. They turn into fat little sausages that you can't feel and aren't very good for manipulating things. So it's really good to have your ice picks around your neck right at hand so you can very quickly, before your hands freeze, pull them out and pull yourself out of the ice. It's a funny thing getting out of the ice. So I can talk about that a little bit, because when my friend Joyce and I fell through on Caribou, we didn't have picks and we couldn't get out. We could almost make it, and then either the thin ice would break under us or we'd slide back in. And of course, you only have about probably 5 to 7 minutes before hypothermia sets in and you start to lose your judgment and strength. So Joyce is a nurse, so we knew that we both knew the score. And so after a few minutes of sort of, maybe a couple of minutes of sort of in a panicked way trying to, we weren't panicked, but we were both just trying to get out and not succeeding. Finally, we stopped and kind of looked at each other and I said, okay, Joyce, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to get my elbow up on the ice, get as high as I can. You get in position kind of as low as you can, holding onto the edge. I'll grab the back of your pants and then I'm going to push you up as I go under. You know, I'll try to use the ice as much as I can. And then as I go underwater, I'll push and if you don't get out, try to just stay where you are. I'll get reset and grab the back of her pants and push her again. And it worked. She got out a little ways. She held on there. I got up, came up. And that was a bad moment. I had to push myself, 2 feet under the water and then swim back to the surface, of course, with heavy clothes. And it was not a good situation.
Wow.
It's funny now.
Yeah,
but
I don't
time,
know.
We were looking at each other like, this is sort of literally do or die. And I pushed her a second time. She was able to almost get out, but not quite. And she just very wisely just stayed in that position. And then on the third try, she slipped out. And then she turned around and, lying flat still, gave me a hand, pulled me right out. It was so easy.
Really?
Once she had that leverage point. Yeah, there's nothing to it. Because that's the frustrating part is when you don't have the picks. You can almost get out. I mean, you're within 2 inches of getting out, but you can't get past that little barrier. So that's why the picks are so important. So that's the method we used. Then once we got out, we were cold.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how, I mean, probably many people listening to this have gone into 30 some degree temperature water and know, but it's very shocking. It takes your breath away right away. Your fingers aren't working. You know, it's not a pleasant experience. And then we got out in that cold wind and we headed back to our cars. We were parked next to each other. It was probably a mile, mile and a half back. So it was a cold skate back. And then when we got to the cars, we jumped in our car. We jumped in my car because I had seat heat and started it up and put on the seat heat. And then I looked at her. And as I said, Joyce is a nurse. And I said, well, Joyce, it's a little embarrassing. We are good friends. But I said, we have to take our clothes off or we'll freeze sitting here in our clothes in the car. And she agreed. So we stripped down to our underwear.
Yeah.
And then we couldn't get our skates off because our hands were too cold to manipulate the laces. So then a friend pulled in and got out. And he came over and looked, and here's Joyce and I sitting in the car in our underwear.
Wow.
That caused a riotous reaction from him. He thought it was hilarious until he
I'm
realized
sure.
why. And then
with your skates said, on, no less.
Yeah, I rolled down the window and I said, yeah, very funny, but could you take our skates off for us? So he helped us get our skates off. Both of us had dry clothing, which is safety tip number three, is bring dry clothing. You know, if you're skating in a bay and the car's right there, it's okay to leave it in the car, I think. But if you're going out for a trip, you know, on a big lake or in the Boundary Waters where you're going lake to lake, obviously you carry a full set of dry clothing in a dry bag in your pack. And so we were able to quickly change into dry clothing, and we were fine. We didn't suffer any ill effects other than being a little shaken up by a brush with death.
Yeah. So I have so many questions I could ask, Bill, but one pressing one is, what exactly was the state of the ice that you fell through? How thick was it? Was it good ice or bad ice? Or what was that
no,
ice
it was
like?
Good. I mean, it was good ice. It was just out in the middle, and apparently I'm just guessing that it was some sort of current maybe in that part of Caribou Lake. But the ice was, you know, 4, 5, 6 inches thick everywhere. No problem. You know, we weren't even really thinking thin ice at all.
Yeah.
Now, if we'd been a little more alert, we might have noticed that it was getting thin. But as I said, we were deep in conversation and didn't tumble to the fact that it was thin until we just went right through. I mean, it was instantaneous, nothing you could do.
And when you were trying to get out, was the ice continuing to crumble, or was it the solid ice, you just couldn't get up on it?
Well, initially it broke when we tried to pull up on it, and then we got the thicker, obviously we went back toward the thicker ice, and then it would support us, but it was, you know, it was really that black ice, just slick, 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 and we couldn't get a grip on it to get out. I actually lost my blades. I tried to, I have the Nordic blades, you know, the clip-on ski boots, and I thought, oh, I'll take those off and use those as a pick, but my hands were so cold that when I got the binding open, the blade slipped out of my fingers, so I lost my blades actually that day, and which is unfortunate, but that just shows you how useless your hands become so quickly. So those ice picks are key, and I even, in the early days, they weren't available, or I wasn't aware they were available. I made a pair myself just out of pieces of wood and nails, you know, or screws.
Yeah.
And they're critical. So, you know, in terms of safety, never go alone.
Yeah.
And I've violated all of these. Carry your ice picks, always carry dry clothes and some, you know, some food, and so you can recover yourself. I wouldn't rely on a fire. You know, it's too slow to get warm by a fire, so you definitely want dry clothes one tip I read about, I haven't tried this, but it said bring along a pair of like rubber gloves to use while you're undressing from your wet clothes, help keep your hands warm. That seems a little picky, but probably helps, you know, anything you can do at that point to preserve your, when you have a, first thing you want to do is put on a dry hat and, you know, those kind of things, whatever you can do to quickly get into dry clothes.
Right. Right. All right. Well, let's jump to the present, Bill. Have you been skating this year?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Not as much as I would have liked. A lot of the early skating was very, very windy, and I kind of passed on that because just being out there in the wind, and then I've had unfortunate schedules. It's been this year is the longest skating period I've seen in my 70 years of being up here. So a great resource for people is the Cook County Lake Skater Network Facebook group. So Cook County Lake Skater. And I'm sure there are others out there too, but I look back on that group and the first skating this year, the first people reporting skating, which were the real diehards, were on November 3rd. And they were skating on sort of partially frozen lakes and bays on 2 or 3 inches of ice, you know, kind of pushing the envelope.
Yeah.
But by November 6th or 7th, people were skating widely on, albeit fairly thin ice. Then we had a warm spell and it got bad for a little while. And then it returned cold. And then we actually had, there were a few days when it was not good because we had some snow that kind of was slushy and it messed up the lakes. And it looked like that was the end of the season. And then we got an inch of rain and cold weather after that.
Right.
And everything got really good after that. Basically, all the lakes are skatable right now, or virtually all. And a little rough in places. It's not ideal. It's not that perfect black ice like we had 2 years ago, but definitely skatable. But today is probably the last day because of the snow coming.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
Hungry Jack Lodge up the Gunflint Trail has plowed an ice, even with the little snow, because they do have some snow up there. They plowed a rink and a 7-mile ice trail on Hungry Jack Lake. And I don't know if they're going to try to keep that up or what, but that sounds like a fun opportunity. And I skated once on the Winnipeg River in Winnipeg, right in downtown Winnipeg. They plow a several mile long skating trail on the river every winter.
Oh.
It's a ton of fun because there's thousands of people out there, you know, on a Saturday or Sunday skating, and it's just lovely.
Yeah, that does sound fun. Do you have any advice about skates, Bill? I know that there's the Nordic skates you can just attach to your boots, or there's always hockey skates, figure skates. I mean,
get out there with what you have. Figure skates are a little bit dangerous because if you run into a rough patch, it can catch the picks and take you down hard.
Yeah.
So I would say those are the last choice, but if that's what you have, you know, go, just be careful.
Yeah.
Maybe keep your speed down. And then, hockey skates are great. They're a little better at riding over those kind of imperfections, but the Nordic skaters, I highly recommend. That's number one. They're called Nordic Blades, and I think it's nordicblades.com, but there are several brands now. You can actually get them that'll strap on regular boots, although that's less preferable than the kind that use cross-country ski bindings and your ski boots, preferably if you have them skating boots that are more rigid in the ankle.
Yep.
And that gives you more ankle support. And they're long. They're like the old-fashioned, I think of the old-fashioned ski racing blades. Of course, now they use a very similar blade, the clapper blade, than like Olympic speed skating. That's a long blade. And The length is really helpful for wild ice because it allows it to ride over rough spots. It keeps it from dropping into cracks. Hockey skates, ice often has cracks, and if your blade happens to line up and drop into a crack, it can really, really take you down hard. Not too many years ago, maybe 10 years ago, Sawbill was good and for skating, and I went by myself, which I don't recommend, but it was very, very solid ice that year. And I went down, I was so excited, I was going to skate to the far end of the lake, 6 miles one way, you know, and back. And boy, I was going to go for it, you know, and I got my skates on, and hockey skates, and I went out and I started striding and I got up to full speed, and I played hockey through high school, so I'm a fairly good skater. So I was at full stride, full speed, and my blade dropped into a crack.
Oh.
And I went down so hard, it knocked the wind out of me. Luckily, I didn't hit my head or anything, but it knocked the wind out of me for almost a minute. It hurt. And I just lay there for about probably 3 minutes and then gingerly picked myself up and just went back, took my skates off and went home. It shook me up so much I couldn't even
see.
It was such a come down because I was ecstatic. I was like at the top of the world, you know, I'm going to go skate and have the best time and just
wham. Right. Wow. That brings me to, you know, one thing I've noticed, we've skated with Canadian friends and they, with their kids, they're always wearing helmets. And it seems like in the United States, people do not wear helmets when they skate on lakes. And I don't know, that's just kind of a difference. Maybe we should be wearing helmets.
We should be wearing helmets. I mean, I've definitely bonked my head, never in a serious way, but yeah, helmets are a good idea. In fact, we just last week, my wife Cindy and I went out skating, and we brought our helmets. We didn't end up wearing them, but we thought about it to that point, like maybe we should be wearing helmets. And she did take a hard wipe out. She didn't hit her head, but took a hard fall. So that is part of it. You know, it's there's definitely falling is part of the sport.
Yeah, it
so,
is.
So, you know, I mean, even knee pads and elbow pads, if you have that kind of stuff, if you're an inline skater or a hockey player that has those kind of pads, not a bad idea to throw those on.
Yeah, and I just want to put a quick plug in, too. I mean, I think it's very easy to get intimidated listening to you, Bill, because it is, I mean, obviously you're quite a skater, and it is, there is danger involved. I know I've been out on lakes, you know, quite close to shore when it's just incredible black ice and you can see everything going on. Mm. And it is, it doesn't even have to be all about the skating and the exercise. It can be about just sort of gliding very slowly along or drifting even over this incredible ice.
Honestly, at my age now, I'm a much slower skater. And I also skate with poles. I use my cross-country ski poles.
Yeah.
And that I think that's really helpful for avoiding falls and helping you over the rough spots. And then you can often just pole and not even have to skate, especially if you're going downwind.
Right.
So I think it's good, though, to use cross-country ski poles rather than hiking poles, because the cross-country ski poles have the sharp carbide tip that bite the ice. So that's a little tip. But that's not a bad idea, especially for long distance. But you're right. I mean, you know, it's proper to focus on safety, but the reality of it is the most freeing, joyful, interesting,
fascinating. I know, just the ice alone.
I run out of adjectives.
I know. It's
and,
really
and you're
something.
Right, the black ice, early in the season, if you get black ice where you can see through it, and that's what we had 2 years ago on the big lakes up the Gunflint, you know, Sag and Seagull were black ice, and you could skate along shore, and you could actually see fish and stuff that was, you know, dropped out of canoes on fishing lures, stuck on logs. I mean, it was so cool, and it becomes just an experience where you're basically gliding through space effortlessly. It's like flying. It's the closest thing to being like a bird that you can. And honestly, even a bad skater can skate 10 miles an hour pretty easily.
Yeah.
And a good skater can skate 25 miles an hour. And you can really cover some ground when you're skating. And that's not even, you know, trying that hard. I mean, just once you get your speed up, it's effortless.
Oh, thank you so much, Bill. This has been really fun to hear you talk. And maybe we'll have you again to talk about this at the beginning of a season or...
As of tomorrow, it sounds like hang up the skates for at least for lake skating, but get out your skis.
Yeah, let's hope we can get those skis out. All right, thanks so much, Bill.
Thanks so much.
All right, you take care. Bye-bye. That was Bill Hansen, a Lake and Cook County lifelong resident. What a treat to hear him talk about skating.